Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Lizzie O'Leary, in for Tanzina Vega. Small business owners remain some of the hardest hit by COVID-19. To help, the federal government put $349 billion behind the Paycheck Protection Program back in March as part of its coronavirus relief package. Run by the Small Business Administration, the program was designed to provide forgivable loans to small businesses to stay afloat during the pandemic. But on Thursday, the SBA announced that the money ran out and that the program would no longer be taking applications. And a lot of small businesses around the country were shut out. And frankly, we don't even know how many. Meanwhile, many big chain restaurants were able to secure loans, like Potbelly Sandwich Shop, Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, and Shake Shack. Shake Shack has since announced it will give the money back.
I own a little restaurant, bar, and one-screen movie theater called Giggle Waters.
Rachel Fine is a small business owner who applied for a PPP loan.
It's in the Tampa area in Florida, a little town called Safety Harbor.
And as Rachel told us when she joined us on the show a few weeks back, coronavirus hit at a critical time for her business.
I mean, this was prime season. This is the time of year we make our money for the rest of the year. And then all of a sudden, we were put to 50% capacity when coronavirus hit. So we went from a two-hour wait to get a table on a Friday or Saturday night to only allowing 75 people in at a time. And within a week, we were brought down to delivery or takeout only. We had to shutter the dining room. And that represents maybe 20% of our business. So we are down just an astronomical amount and doing our best to make ends meet.
So Rachel, like a lot of other business owners, applied for a forgivable loan from the Small Business Administration.
Applying for the PPP loan was ridiculous. We went on the SBA's website and we downloaded the practice application so that we could fill everything out ahead of time, we could get our ducks in a row, we would have all the information the second our bank allowed us to submit an application. And we did that. We were ready. We sat through a three-hour conference call with our bank to learn the ins and outs of the loan. We were ready to go. The second we could apply, we had everything submitted, and then the bank had some more follow-up questions, so we sent some more documentation. Then 4 days ago, I get an email from the bank, and I'm going to read it to you. He says, "Unfortunately, your loan did not get approved by the SBA before funds were maximized. If they increase the amount, you will be at the front of the line. Thank you." That was a devastating moment in my life. That would have been game-changing. Honestly, we'd already spent the money. I had rent to pay, I have bills to pay, and I have 32 employees who I am dying to hire back who are sitting home waiting for a call, and I can't hire them. I don't have the funds.
And Rachel didn't just apply for the PPP loan. She looked for help elsewhere, too.
The day after we were told that we had to shutter the doors, I applied for every single loan I could find. I applied for a traditional SBA loan. I applied for the EIDL. And let me tell you, it was not an easy process. It wasn't easy to get all the documentation together, the paperwork together. The websites crashed constantly. I ended up having to fax one application and snail mail another. And it's been weeks now, and I haven't heard from either one. So I'm doing all of the things. I am jumping through all of the hoops, and there is no help. It feels like we just got to save ourselves, and honestly, I don't know how to do that. We're riding out the storm the best we can. I'm down to just my full-time employees and myself, so there are five of us working around the clock, serving lunch and dinner 7 days a week. It's been unbelievably difficult, and the volume from traditional sales, like I said, is only about 20%, so we've moved more to feeding the front lines. It's been something that's been personally fulfilling for us. We reach out to corporations and try to get them to sponsor meals for hospitals in the area. In the past 3 weeks, we've been able to serve over 475 first responders. People email us at events@gigglewaters.com, and they want to contribute and they want to help. And so we find a way to both move product and keep our product fresh so that we can make sure that what we are selling is good quality food by feeding as many people as possible. And for us, that's been hospitals, fire stations. On Easter, we served 6 units of Meese Countryside Hospital, and that's kind of been a passion project and something to do to just keep sane during all of this.
Now, Rachel's just hoping she won't have to submit more paperwork to be considered in the next round of government aid.
I'm here waiting. I have submitted every document they wanted. I have jumped over every hoop. We are drowning, and we need the government's help.
Congress is now negotiating a new round of funding that could provide billions of dollars more to the PPP. But as they negotiate the fine print, working towards an agreement, some people are left wondering if this second round of loans may be too little too late. Joining me now to talk about the challenges and the road ahead for the Paycheck Protection Program and small businesses is Zach Warmbrot, a financial services reporter for Politico. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
First off, remind us about how the PPP was supposed to work and how these loans are a little different from traditionally getting a loan from the bank.
So when Congress created the Paycheck Protection Program, it was really looking for a way to rapidly deliver some stimulus funds to small businesses, because the idea was maybe that would be a conduit through which you could keep people getting checks, help avert layoffs, and help prevent, you know, an even deeper recession from taking hold. And so they kind of took off the shelf a small business administration model, where basically you would have banks issue these loans to businesses, but in a twist to make the loans enticing, the Congress decided to allow the loan amounts to be forgiven if a business would agree to maintain its payroll. So the trade-off would be, you know, you may not want to go into debt, but, you know, if you at least agree to keep paying people, you can have the loan amount forgiven and keep your doors open, and hopefully we can bridge you to, you know, whenever the economy is going to reopen.
What were the requirements to be eligible for one of these loans?
It was mainly focused on businesses with fewer than 500 employees, though, you know, there were avenues for larger companies to also take advantage. If you wanted the loan amount forgiven, you had to agree to maintain your payroll for about 8 weeks. And you could use the money for other expenses, but they put a cap on how much you could use to pay for rent and mortgage and utilities.
Yeah, let's talk about the caps. How much money could a business get overall? And I guess you mentioned some of those restrictions sort of in how the money could be used.
So the way they designed it is you could only get a maximum of a $10 million loan. So no one could get a larger loan than that. And as for the amount that could be forgiven, they said that you would have to spend at least 75% of the forgiven amount on your payroll. So, you know, no more than 25% could go towards things like mortgage and rent and utilities.
Do we know why the rollout of this thing seems like it was such a mess?
Yeah, I would say in the days leading up to the program's launch on April 3rd, I mean, we were already writing stories about, you know, how banks were growing anxious about how this was actually going to work. I mean, you have to remember, you know, the president signed the bill, and then less than a week later, this program launched. And, you know, that wasn't a deadline necessarily set by Congress, but that was the Treasury Department, the Treasury Secretary, Steven Mnuchin, saying, we're going to launch this a week from now. And the issue was, you know, because you have banks who are basically on the front lines here handing out these loans, you know, they needed guidelines from the government on how to do it, especially because a program like this had never been launched before. And so what happened was it took until the night before the program launched for the SBA and the Treasury Department to actually release a rule saying how banks should handle these loans and vet them and who, and, you know, and all the eligibility requirements and the detail that banks wanted. And so then, you know, that first day came and it was really kind of a rocky launch because you had some banks that were able to get, you know, their systems together quickly enough to take applications, start processing them. Some weren't. I mean, you saw some, you know, really major banks that weren't even participating in this initially.
Yeah.
And so that's actually been a lingering problem, you know, for several days after the launch, is that the banks were still asking questions about, okay, how do we do this? And it was just kind of like a staggered rollout of, you know, guidelines and rules from the Treasury Department and the SBA. And that was compounded by the fact that, you know, this is all having to be funneled through an SBA loan approval system that's never had to deal with this load before. And so banks were experiencing crashes, you know, a series of technical problems that were basically slowing all this down and kind of clogging up the pipeline of loans.
Why go through banks anyway? Why not just have the government do this directly?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I know that, you know, there were people on Capitol Hill as this bill was being written who really pushed that point of view. I think sometimes when, you know, you have these big crises, you know, sometimes, you know, policymakers will kind of take ideas that are on the shelf and, you know, to be able to move quickly. And in this case, I think that's what happened here. You know, there was an existing SBA business loan program. They call it the 7A loan program, that which basically uses the banks as a conduit. And so I think the people who wrote the legislation basically said, okay, we'll take that model, you know, put 15 times more money into it than it's ever been in it in a year, and we'll see if that works. And so I think that's how we got here. But that'll definitely be a debate after this of whether, you know, the bank model was really the most efficient way to do it.
There have been headlines that some of these big companies, Shake Shack, Potbelly, et cetera, got PPP loans. How did that happen?
The program primarily aimed at, you know, businesses with fewer than 500 employees. But, you know, as often is the case when legislation like this is being written, you know, there were carve-outs added. So, you know, there was an exemption that allowed restaurants and hotel operators and some other industries to apply if they had fewer than 500 employees per location. So that's what opened the door to companies like Shake Shack, Potbelly, Roots Hospitality Group, who owns Roots Chris, to very quickly apply for these loans and get them.
And then just quickly, where do we stand on negotiations for more funding? Are we going to see another pot of money? Are we going to see something maybe a little more permanent?
We're definitely going to see another $300 billion or so. I mean, that seems to be the number everyone is coalescing around right now. And so Congress could pass that, you know, in the next couple of days. But, you know, I'm reporting based on talking to banks that, you know, lenders only think that could last for a few days. So, you know, some are saying maybe even just 2 days, you know, just based on the $50 billion a day burn rate they're seeing with the program so far. So, you know, if Congress wants to keep this program going, they're going to have to come back probably a week from now and put some more money into it.
Zach Wormbrot is a financial services reporter for Politico. Thank you so much, Zach.
Thanks for having me.
Hi, my name is Jackie. I'm calling from Kannapolis, North Carolina. My husband's company, which is a solar company, did apply for the loan, and they were approved. It was for half of the amount that they had asked for, but it was enough to get them through 2 more months of salaries for their employees. They're a small company with 22 people that work there. So that they have not received the check yet, and there's no word as to when they will receive the check.
My name is Aaron, calling from Springfield, Massachusetts. This whole bailout business is a total failure and a letdown, at least as far as real small businesses go. The owner followed all the rules, spent days and weeks on the phone, doing all the paperwork, jumping through all the hoops. And now they say the money ran out. So now, in my opinion, it's up to the state government to take responsibility for the fact that they shut down the businesses forcefully. In this case, the owner literally paid out of pocket, you know, 2 weeks emergency pay for workers with the expectation that there was going to be some serious assistance. And now that same person is completely broke and trying to get on food stamps in order to feed herself and her kids.
Hi, I'm Eric Berg, and I live in Ojai, California. As for the loans, I applied, but I never received anything. I'm lucky in some ways, as right as this pandemic was unfolding, I was moving my storefront business model to an online business model. The first 2 weeks were rough, but the last 2 weeks have been enough to keep the lights on and to keep the rent paid for now. I'm just hoping enough people keep shopping online to keep my business alive.
This is The Takeaway. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE to comment on any story or give us your thoughts on any topic. Also, we're on Facebook and Twitter at The Takeaway. Let us know what you think, and thanks for listening.